Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci, the Pips, the Players, the Hustlers, the Podcasters, the People of Bust Them, and everybody else in between. The Twisted Tuesday has begun. The Olympics have begun. And you know what I was thinking? Well, we're not going to talk the Olympics with Rick Serratella, but we will be in, like, I don't know, a couple of months, a year or so. This stuff starts to – it's going to start to happen as far as the summer games in Los Angeles. And I'll tell you what – I was just, of course, in San Francisco at the Super Bowl festivities, and I think they pushed flag football more than they did the Super Bowl. Like, in the sense that on Media Row, Rick, like, they had, like, pretty much everybody involved with flag football was available for interviews. They had the flag football Pro Bowl at the convention center. There was a lot of talk about the Olympics. The Team USA kids teams were all there. The men's team, like, everybody. There was flag. Rick Serratella in the house with us. You see it, Rick. They're pushing this for real. And I was talking to a lot of NFL media types there that were telling me their kids and their daughters are all playing flag football right now. This thing's going to be, like, massive in, like, 10 years. Like, Roger Goodell. NCAA college will have, like, a flag football women's team.
Oh, no. Amanda Ruhler is right down here in Philadelphia at Eastern College with the first female flag football championship team. And Roger Goodell, the NFL owners, they love new revenue, Gabe. And I'm telling you, the Olympics is the official NFL launching pad for official flag football leagues. You're going to see player unions. You're going to see big sponsorships. You're going to see NILs. You're going to see contracts. And it's going to be all trickled down from the NFL funded leagues. And, you know, it also was no coincidence that they also pumped out that international slate during the Super Bowl week, because they want to expand the international games. Eventually, you're going to see an international game each and every week. Right. New revenue. And I do think the NFL is trending towards opening up new CBA negotiations before the 30-31 expiration date so that they can incorporate international games, 18 game schedule, two bye weeks, Super Bowl played before President's Day. And that's what your modern day NFL schedule looks like.
Roger Goodell did not rule out international expansion when asked about it, and said it's something that's always going to be on the table. And as you stated, they've already made as much revenue as they can on this side of the water, right? So now they're looking for new revenues. And when you're the NFL and you're that big, there's not a lot of things that can move the needle for you. The Olympics are one of them, right? The global exposure of your brand, right? Because all, you know, just the exposure you're going to get in different countries. And I guess the question is, and people aren't going to like it because we saw people flip the fuck out over Bad Bunny. Like, really, who gives, like, who cares? Seriously, Who cares who plays the halftime show? And if you hate it so much, don't watch it. But just wait until they drop a hammer one of these years. Oh, yeah, by the way, the Super Bowl's in London this year. That will happen. I just wonder when. Like 10 years? It's still a little fresh. People would flip out politically right now if you told them, oh, yeah, by the way, the 2030 Super Bowl is in London, England. But it's coming, Rick, and people are naive if you don't think it is. Because eventually it'll just grow, as you stated. I've heard them say multiple international games a week is the vision, right? It used to be in a division in Europe, and you know what? Why don't we just put a team in Germany and put a team in England and put a team or whatever? Now I think they think, you know what? No. How cool would it be if we're making revenue in the USA, we're making revenue in Brazil, we're making revenue in England all at the same time on a Sunday afternoon, Rick? I think that's their vision.
Well, I used to think that we were trending towards a team overseas, but I agree with you. I think we may actually have an entire division. But remember now, when they do these international games, the NFL comes in the week prior and they set up virtual tents, merchandise, concessions. It's a takeover, virtual game. And so now they're pumping
like the mini Super Bowl every week almost.
Yeah, it's basically a Super Bowl hosted out at that city, right? And they're also pumping the flag football. And hey, these international competitions, and that's where you're going to get just an explosion of American football. Just
they're going to say, listen, we know you don't have high school football here and stuff, but you can play flag football. Hell, you could be in the Olympics if you're good enough.
And you can be like the Dream Team in 1992, right? As we're dunking over you and you're asking for our autographs and we're embarrassing you, but you're going to enjoy every second of it because it's your Super Bowl, right? So now every country can have their Super Bowl and play the United States in the Flag Football Olympics. And I tell you what, it's going to be incredible. This is going to be just when you thought the brand and the shield and the logo couldn't get any bigger. It's coming.
And I do think that it's going to be more competitive than people think as well. I'm just fascinated to see how it plays out, like how they put these rosters together. That's my deal. I just can't wait to see who makes the team, who's on the team. How do they go about
it? Well, instead of the Pro Bowl, Gabe, instead of the Pro Bowl next year, they should be having U.S. qualifiers for the men's American flag, men's and women's flag football qualifiers. Instead of scrap the Pro Bowl, let's host something that matters.
And let the original flag players compete too. Yeah, like the dudes that represent USA now, make Mahomes beat them. Make Joe Burrow beat them. Like you know
that
I mean?
That whole bye week leading up to the Super Bowl should be a round robin American tryout, flag football, whatever you want to call it, tryouts.
No, I agree. I think a bunch of NFL dudes should get together. Like there's certain, like we've already heard, Joe Burrow wants to do it, Mahomes wants to do it, whatever. Like all these big time quarterbacks want to do this, and they all got their boys, so to speak. All right, listen, Jefferson, you win. Yeah, we're gonna do this. There should be trials. Instead of just someone just handpicking and saying, all right, it's going to be Patrick Mahomes or it's going to be Kyler Murray or it's going to be this guy or that guy. They should.
Who's to say that the Indoor Football League quarterback guys can't come out there and run? So, I mean, they're kind of more conducive.
They're used to the quick releases. Right. And exactly.
I'm just saying.
That's what I'm saying. It's not automatic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even for Team Canada, it'll be cool to see how this plays out. All right. Is it going to be Nate Rourke? Is it going to be Trey Ford? How are you going to go about this? Right? You got a bunch of the CFL wants a part of this, but then you got a bunch of NFL Canadian guys as well. So it'll be fascinating to see how it plays out, but I think it'll be more competitive than people think. But we've got Olympic fever, so just for the record, football will be in the Olympics in 2028 in Los Angeles with NFL football players and CFL players, etc. It's going to be lit, but football season, Rick, turns its attention towards the combine. We're now less than 2 weeks away, just like that, man. Just like that, 13 days away from the combine. But what are your thoughts on the Super Bowl wrap? I think you, as somebody from the NFL Draft Bible, has to look at it and say, wow, the Seattle Seahawks literally and figuratively won because of the draft. They made a good move bringing in the right coach, right quarterback. But has anybody smoked the draft in the last couple of years and produced as many starters as the Seahawks have?
Well, first of all, before I get into the draft, I just want to sit here and say how wrong I was about the Seattle Seahawks. I'm here to give them all their bouquets. And quite frankly, that's one of the most dominant Super Bowl performances we've seen of all time. I definitely believe now seeing that, not committing a turnover in the postseason after leading the league in turnovers during the regular season, this is one of the top 10 teams, maybe a top five team as time goes on, but definitely a top 10 all-time team. And I do think this defense was more dominant than the Legion of Boom. And it's because John Schneider doesn't only hit on day one, day two, day three, undrafted free agents. He identifies the next big up-and-coming head coach in Mike McDonald. He identifies players on the scrap heap like Dexter Lawrence and Cooper Kupp that nobody else wanted. He believed in Sam Darnold when nobody else didn't. And everything he touches, you know, the Midas touch, it turns to gold. And John Schneider now is the only general manager, Gabe, in NFL history to win two Super Bowls with two different head coaches and two entirely different rosters. Not a single player left over from the previous Super Bowl team. 53 different
players. Which, you know what, Rick? Makes him a Hall of Famer.
True story.
Seriously, makes him a Hall of Famer.
No doubt.
As Rick stated, nobody think about that. There's been general managers, the one with different coaches, but different coaches and not a single player. So imagine, he built two Super Bowl champions.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
To me, and you know what? I've always thought, Rick, that Joe Gibbs doesn't get the love that he deserves for winning three Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks.
Yeah,
look at a great Belichick, right? Couldn't win without Tom Brady. Won't win without Tom Brady. There's a lot of like coaches that are great that had like a bell cow quarterback. You know what I mean? That helped them win all those championships. Joe Gibbs, I mean, did it with Doug Williams, Joe Theismann. He won a Super Bowl with Mark Rippon. But yeah, unbelievable stuff. Unbelievable stuff from John Schneider. And as I stated, I think the Dukes of Hazzard, John Schneider, is still probably more famous. But John Schneider, Seahawks, did a hell of a job. Hell of a job, I'll tell you that. So I don't know if you saw, Rick, one of the cool things, obviously, and you meet all these kids from a scouting perspective, but I see them on the social scene at the Super Bowl and the media row and stuff, and had an opportunity to meet Fernando Mendoza on the Pat McAfee show. I went on a couple of guests after him. So he was in the green room. And I'll tell you what, he's even like more of a choir boy in person, Rick, than he comes across on TV. So much so that I felt bad, like swearing around him almost. Like I kept swearing around him for some reason. I was like, you're the fucking man. I said, fuck Ohio State. I was really like, I was kind of freaking him out. Cause I was like, hey, how you doing? I'm a Michigan fan, but you know what? I'm happy for you. You're a great kid, man. You're going to do well. Oh, fuck Ohio State. He was like, he had like this, like, who the hell is this guy? But he started laughing and I said, what's it like, man? This is your new life, eh? And I said, there's George Kittle. He's sitting next to George Kittle. And he said, I'm a little bit sort of in awe of all this still, but it's a lot of fun. And, you know, really, really nice kid. The question is, you know, the Raiders are on the clock right now. Everyone I spoke to there, even people sort of around the Raiders, think they should trade the pick, but they're not going to do it, Rick. They're going to take the kid.
No, and Mendoza is a lock. He's going to go number one, and it's really going to be what they do to support this young man. And we saw Drake May make tremendous strides this season, but at the
and
end
he's
of
got,
the day,
what do you think? He's got Kubiak. Look what he did with – I was going to say, look what he did with Darnold, but Darnold was great last year at Minnesota too. So Darnold's just good. Darnold won 8-9 with Carolina one year, people.
Well,
like, you know, people forget that.
And the stats may not say it, but Darnold played a phenomenal game. Mistake-free football, under duress. I thought it was an incredible performance by Darnold. And on the other end of the spectrum, you know, I felt like Drake May just didn't have enough weapons. And I think that's what you're starting to see with some of these young quarterbacks, Jackson Dart being another one of them. If you don't give them an offensive line, if you don't give them weapons to support them, Cam Ward also comes to mind. Their success is going to be limited. And so Mendoza is not a guy that's going to lead a franchise and carry them on his back. He's going to need a running back, and they have one in Ashton Jensen. He's going to need protection. You saw that in Indiana, not the greatest pocket awareness. And he's going to need some weapons. You saw that with Omar Cooper and Elijah Surratt. Okay, they need that in Las Vegas. But I do think Mendoza could be successful. I think he's a lock for the number one pick. And who's better than to mentor him than Tom Brady, right?
Rick Saratella with us. All right, we're going to get into some Olympic hockey. McInnes and Cam Stewart are going to step up and in a couple of minutes here. But, Rick, you said something last week or a couple of weeks ago. I don't want to buy into the Senior Bowl hype too much, but the week and all that. But I got to tell you, man, and I threw it out there, and it's nothing against Mendoza, but I think Garrett Nussmeier is that sort of diamond, you know, that diamond waiting to be taken and could be as good as anybody else. Like, I think he could just set himself up. He could throw the ball as an NFL quarterback. I see a lot of QB rankings that have Ty Simpson as the second best quarterback on the board. I'll disagree with that personally, but dear God, this is a pretty thin quarterback class, isn't it, Rick, coming into the draft? There's a lot of sort of, I think this is a great example of because you're a five-star high school recruit doesn't mean you're going to be a first-round draft pick in the NFL, Rick. Because you look at a lot of these quarterbacks, all just massive sort of, like, you know, not like Cade Klubnik, bro, won the state championship in Texas. You know what I'm saying? Like, he beat Colt McCoy in the championship game. He was big time. Drew Aller was like five-star, big-time recruit. Carson Beck, big-time recruit, right? Simpson kind of, you know, Simpson had to earn it a little bit more at Alabama, but a lot of like high school stud type kids and big names in college, Rick, but not a lot of NFL meat on the bone here.
Well, maybe it's the first era of true NIL quarterback class, right? They came in with big hype, big paydays, and it's hard to live up to those expectations. And, you know, here we are, they really have only had a couple years to mature and develop. So I don't want to call them disappointments or flameouts, but to your point, like Garrett Nussmeier could blossom into the next Brock Purdy. You know, I just can't help to imagine if he goes there to New Orleans where his dad is the offensive coordinator and there's not going to be any pressure for him to step in immediately, what could develop out of that situation, right? And you got to feel good about something like that.
Any love at all for Cade Klubnik at the next level?
I don't know. I saw him down at the East-West Shrine Bowl, and I just didn't see it, Gabe. I didn't see it this season. And, you know, he just kind of plateaued. And a guy, he came in, had some early success, but never really took the next step. Drew Aller, same deal. I feel good about a Nussmeier. You know, I don't feel too good about too many of these quarterbacks, but it is
Miller
a rough
Moss.
Year.
I'm throwing dark horses. Miller Moss, dark horse?
Or you know,
just
I like
backup.
He's a backup, you know, and because he throws too many turnovers. He has almost one interception a game, and that's the downfall of a Miller Moss. And he makes a lot of good throws, can make every throw in the book, former 4- or 5-star recruit, but the turnovers are a killer for Miller Moss.
All right, Rick, we'll wrap it up with a look at next year. You just said you think the Seattle Seahawks, you said you were wrong about them. You gave them your just due. You said that was like a top 10 performance, one of the greatest performances, and all when it's all said, one of the best seasons of all time. They are favorites to repeat as Super Bowl champions. What's your early thing? Are you sitting on a team? I got to tell you, yesterday we were talking just post-Super Bowl and didn't really get into next year, but I threw out the Chicago Bears, and I think the Bears are going in the right direction and will be a competitive team in the playoffs next year. What do you think? Is there a team that you've got your eye on?
I'm going to say the LA Chargers just because of what they were able to do with so many injuries. And their offensive line is going to be getting back Slater and Alt. And then they're going to add, I mean, they're going to be having a lot of ammunition that they did not have this year. So I think the Chargers are a team that could really take that step forward next year.
Rick Saratella is the first of many people, no doubt, over the next 4 months that'll tell us this is the Chargers' year. every year it's always, oh, this is the Chargers. It's a good point, though. I mean, they were still good, and they didn't have half their offensive line and their best players. They need weapons, too. They got to do better. Like, you know, McConkey, a nice little player, but they need some weapons for Herbert, like for Sears. They got to get some wide receivers. But
well, and the running backs, you know, Hampton got hurt. They signed Harris. He had the injuries. So they just had some really bad luck. And, you know, if they can get half of these guys back between Joe Alt, Rashawn Slater, and maybe draft a receiver, they're going to be in pretty good shape.
You the man, Rick. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, man. I enjoyed watching you out there in San Francisco. You're making me think I might have to come out to L.A. next year. Always appreciate the love.
Yeah, you know what? I was thinking, man, that's a good time. I want to go to the draft in Pittsburgh now. Man, that's right down the road. So
let's do it.
From Jersey.
Buckle up. Hunker down.
That's going to be lit. McAfee's hometown, too, with Pittsburgh and him setting up shop there.
Oh, it's going to be crazy. Yeah,
that's going to be over the top. So, yeah, the draft is in Pittsburgh.
It's going to be a two-campus stage in the middle of the Three Rivers with the skyline in the background. It's going to be an unbelievable setting.
The draft is bigger than the Super Bowl. Like, it's crazy. Like, for fans. Fans don't go to the Super Bowl. It's too expensive. The draft is free. I'm telling you, I've been to drafts, man. There's like 250,000 people from, like, every fan base has like just a couple of thousand.
They're
people
saying 500,000 to 700,000 visitors are expected over the weekend.
Wow. Wow. I remember it was a big deal. We have 65,000 people. And now it's like, yeah, they're just casual. Oh, yeah, we got 387,000 people here. Yeah, it's like bigger than Woodstock. Like I said, 700,000 people over a couple of days. Rick, thanks, my man.
All right, peace.
All right. So, yeah, the combine's now just 13 days away, guys. There's no rest for the wicked in the National Football League. And I can't help but think, I'm sure John Schneider's thinking the same way of when they asked Bill Belichick after he won the Super Bowl, and he's at the podium, and they're like, what are you thinking right now? And he just bluntly said, I'm thinking that I'm 6 weeks behind the rest of the league getting ready for the draft. Like, which is
amazing.
Like, just his, the way he thinks, like, just right away of, yeah, this is over, so... And our Andrew McInnes, we all know, like, yeah, we know he loves the Habs, but we know he's a closet Habs fan as well. And Nate McKinnon and all that type of stuff. But good, you know, good to see you guys. But yeah, I thought it was funny. Like Bill Belichick said that he was dead serious. He goes, I think we're 6 weeks behind everybody and prepping for the draft now because we've been in the playoffs this long or whatnot. And I love Nate McKinnon's response. But he asked them, like, it was one of those, like, so, you know, you're in the Olympics. Isn't it great? Are you going to soak up the village and the atmosphere and just, you know, isn't it great to be in the Olympics? And Nate McKinnon, no, I won't. he said, no. Like, and basically he said, I'm here to win a gold medal. I'm not here to enjoy myself. And this guy, I swear to God, like, I brought this up a couple of years ago. He's a great player, Andrew, but – even the Colorado Avalanche told him to chill out a little bit. Like, because he used to, like rip teammates and stuff. Like, he'd see them, like, eating McDonald's or something, and, like, he'd get in their face. And they told him, listen, not everyone's a psycho like you are, Nate. Like, you can't. Like, he's a nut job, bro. Like, he is a nut job. Great player, competitive. Like, he's like all Crosby cares about is winning. But Crosby smiles, Andrew. You know what I mean? Crosby smiles.
He's better at hiding it.
Yeah, like Crosby enjoys life a little bit. Like Nate McKinnon, like, hates life. The only thing he cares about is winning a hockey game, this guy. That's all he cares about.
Yeah, that article, I read a little bit. I hate how you find articles these days online, and then they're just like 2 days later, they're behind a paywall. I mean, there's so many free articles out here. I'm not going to pay to read the New York Times. I'm sorry, it's 2026, but I did get to read a couple paragraphs of the interview, and it was just so funny because he did say, look, it's a dream come true. If you told 10-year-old me I was going to be here,
he didn't dismiss the Olympics or anything.
It's going to be good. He just more so was just like, hey, look, you know what fun means to me? Playing hockey and winning. That is fun. Like, and you know what people are going to stir up, guys, because this is how it always works, is the Tkachuk brothers bumping around, talking to everybody, you know, being the social media stars. And Nate's like, I don't really care about anything besides this hockey tournament. That's what I'm here for.
And Tim Hortons commercials with Tylenol.
Yeah.
The only time he smiles.
But everybody has their role, right? Like, at the end of the day, everybody has their role. Like, Brad Marchand, as much as he's a talented player still and he deserves his spot on the team, you can tell that he makes everybody feel comfortable. Like, there's that viral video that went around.
He's the one back of the jokes.
Oh, yeah.
After they beat Sweden in overtime, he said, risky play, 87, risky play, 87, in the locker room. Like, he makes everybody – anytime I see him in a video with the Olympics, he's next to a player making them laugh. So everybody kind of has their role, I guess. But I feel like a lot of people haven't understood as much, and even I'm starting to understand it more the past couple of days, that these guys have never been here before. Like McDavid and MacKinnon, like the Four Nations was sweet, but this is something they've been thinking about for a really, really long time. I'm starting to feel that.
And I think it's positive energy, positive pressure. In a sense, I don't think it's like overbearing negative pressure that they're under, but you can definitely see Team Canada's approach is a lot different than the US's. And it all started with the first practice. It was Super Bowl Sunday. The teams got there and they literally arrived in Italy and basically went right to the practice rink. And each country got 90 minutes on the ice, and the USA didn't do anything. Like, the USA basically skated around, joked around, said hi to each other, fired some pucks. Like, it was basically just like a loose sort of skate around, do whatever you want to do. Team Canada's first practice off the plane was 90 minutes of brutality. Like, they said it was like a mini camp. Like, basically, they was right into business. Like, there was no, like, hey, good to see you. It was right away. Everybody in the pairs, you break down what you're going to do on the PK, you, power play, you. And all the players met up in the corners and different groups. Then they did drills like over and over and over. I saw Ryan Rashad say he never seen anything like it in Olympic practice before. He goes, it looked like a training camp. Like, they're all business. Like, all business. They stayed in the Olympic Village for 2 days, and they won out. Now, I think they knew they were going to do this. I don't think they wanted the, oh, you guys are above the Olympic Village thing. So they go to the Olympic Village. They do the thing for a couple of days, but I think they're already in the hotel now. Logan Thompson was, like, bigger than his bed was. It's too many distractions in the Olympic Village, right? It's a big, like, one big orgy in there, too. Like, in a bunch of hot, like, you know what I mean, Swedish speed ski, whatever, dude. Like, and it's a big party in there. There's a reason why they put like a million condoms in there. It's a distraction, right? It is. So you put them in the hotel. Although, me personally, I think you should be forced. I think if you're in the Olympics, you stay in the Village. Like, that would be my rule. I'd be like, no, you don't get to stay in a 5-star hotel and show up and leave when you want. Like, that's not the way it works. But you have the choice. You don't have to stay in the Village if you don't want to. So Team Canada's bailing on the Village. But like MacKinnon said, I don't know if it's the right way or the wrong way, because I don't look negatively or like, oh, they don't want it as much, Andrew. Because I saw Matthew Tkachuk talking about this. And he said that him and his brother are sharing a room in the Olympic Village. And that it was awesome. He's like, you know, it was so cool. I was walking around the Village meeting all these athletes from different countries. And he goes, I was watching all these sports that I never even watched before because I met them and like, I was into it. He goes, I was watching figure skating and speed skating and I was really getting into it. And this is awesome. And then I was thinking, man, that's really cool that this guy's a 2-time Stanley Cup champ and he's still in the Village and he's just soaking it up with all the Olympians. And then I thought, you know what, Andrew? He kind of sounds like he's a fan and a tourist at the Olympics. He's like, yeah, I'm watching this sport and I'm watching that sport. And I met all these athletes from all these countries. That's why Canada's not in the Village. They don't, it sounds like crazy, but it's a distraction. If Connor McDavid walked through the Olympic Village, he gets stopped by every other Canadian athlete. Can I get a quick picture, right? It would never end, Cam. The distractions would be endless. It really would be. They're better off in the hotel, but I give credit to the American players for living the experience in the village.
Yeah, no, it's true, Gabe. You got to pick your poison, and I'm with you. Why the hell would you want to be in the village? It might be great for getting laid and stuff like that and seeing people. And you said it. There's so many people, so many different sports, so many athletes. It's like a big, like kind of like a keg party with super athletes, right? These guys are going out having sex, doing this. Yeah, so I think
most of them are good looking.
Yeah, that's the
most
thing.
Of them are young. And yes. The thing is, too, imagine you've trained. I'll just say you trained for 4 years, but they're year round. They're in the world championships. Yeah. Just imagine it. Your goal is the Olympics. Once your event is done and you're not competing at the Olympics anymore, what do you think you're going to do?
Party pretty hard.
Yeah, you'd be like, man, I couldn't party because I was like training and all this. Now I'm done. And I've got 10 days in the Olympic Village to get wasted and do whatever the hell I want.
Hey, it's worth noting, though, guys. Worth noting because it's buzzing around social media right now.
You see the Canadian guys, whenever they win, they're drinking beer right away, running around the village like they're wild. And you got other people still competing. Like, it's a wild village in there, man.
There's that viral, all these photos going around right now, though, of the speed skating, the relay speed skating of all the Team Canada players. And they have like the funniest reaction because the Team Canada, they won their first silver. And the American girl, she fell and then somebody else fell on top of her. And you've got every player that's like, oh, my God, like their jaws wide open. They're like all expressive. So they are living the dream. They're living the moment a little bit, but they're sticking together, doing their thing. They're not buzzing around trying to shake hands and meet new people, as you're saying, Gabe. But I feel like people love to overreact to stuff. Like Tkachuk will say one fun thing, always the most fun guy in the world. MacKinnon says one negative thing. Oh, this guy sucks and he's boring. And it's worth note, Team Canada is not paying for those hotels. Team USA wouldn't be paying for those. It's the NHLPA. So everybody has an opportunity to go to those hotels. So it's not like anybody could say, oh, well, Team Canada's getting this. They already got hotels for Team USA. Even if they're not being used right now, the NHL paid for them to have their own hotel. So the opportunity's out there for all of them.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I understand the seriousness of it. I also will say they're also kind of like divas. Let's just call it out for what it is, right? They don't want to stay. They don't want to be, you know, they want to be in a five-star type of deal like all the time. But the other thing that you could tell too with Team Canada's seriousness about this, and they're dead serious about it. I said this the other day, Team Canada's party, like Team Canada's like literal party, they will smile and have fun on the plane back home after they win. Like point blank. That'll be the deal. Like they'll win and it'll be like, well, guys, we had a long flight here. We can get just lit up and party on the plane. And that'll be it. And then you'll be back to your home and back to NHL life, right? Like they'll never see Milan. They'll never see anything. You know what I mean? Like I think they went out on Sunday after the Super Bowl, like or the Monday, but like not really. Like I said, like the Team Canada guys are so dialed in. And I want to bring this up. It's the first time ever that anyone's ever had a closed Olympic practice, Andrew. I don't know if you saw that.
I did, but
nobody's ever done it
now. USA is doing it now. Finland's doing it. Denmark's doing it.
Sweden was the only other one that originally said, screw you, our practices are closed. You're not coming in. And Canada did too. Cooper didn't admit it. He said, no, there's nothing like, there's nothing crazy about it. Like, we didn't do anything like crazy top secret or anything. He said, it was just, we found that the practice rink was a little small and we didn't want, like, you know, thought it'd be a little crowded in here with media and it'd be a distraction. Like, and then it's like, you find out after I saw Pierre LeBrun say, it wasn't too small. And he goes, they just like closed the practice. Like, right. And rightfully so. Like, you know what I mean? The whole thing is, though, if you're the NHL, that's not good. The whole effing point. You're not making any money off this if you're the NHL. So the only thing you're getting out of this is press. So now if the guys aren't doing press, it's like, damn, man. Like, if I was Batman, I'm having a call. Like, the PA, I'll be like, listen, guys, I understand your close practices, but you've got to be very, very accessible. And in fact, I even saw a thing about how the NHL PA, the NHL told players, and it's funny because you know this, Andrew, NHL guys are never on social media. Hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you'll see football players do their own clips and basketball guys have their own podcast. And like, how many current hockey players are hip online, Andrew?
Well, did you see McAvoy's tweet? I mean, I apologize for jumping in, Gabe, but when you said that, it reminded me. McAvoy's tweet was awesome. Because I think
they told players to engage. They said when you're there, because the league is shut down, they actually encouraged the women's, all the hockey players. They said, do social media content and engage with fans if you can.
Well, I was saying about his injury. Like, he got to the Olympics and then he posted the chicken wing he got in his last game before leaving. And it was what, Florida versus Boston or whoever it was. And then he posted like his face looking all puffed up and he was already wearing a bubble helmet when he got that hit. And he's just like, and everyone's saying George Parros will probably find this, but he won't find something else. Like, it's like, how is George Parros in charge of the player safety? I have no clue how that guy runs the player safety.
The dirtier the player, McInnes, the better the gig.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I know the players aren't on social media, but yeah, I was proud to see
George
that.
George Parros is the guy, but he was a tough guy at least, right? Yeah. So it's like, wow, you got a guy that was a tough guy. He was kind of a goon. It is weird that he ended up as the guy. I know him because he's friends with a bunch of UFC fighters, George Parros. He trains like MMA and stuff. Like when he played hockey, he used to go with my boy Frank Trigg and train. Frank, like, he was ahead of the curve about learning like little slick MMA combos and stuff like that. But I always got a kick out of that he's the guy too. All right. So, so the Olympics are here. The woman's stuff has begun, but let's get into the men's. There's no more turning back, McInnes. What are your picks? What do you got? What are you looking at here for men's hockey? Opening round games, medal predictions. What do you got? What are you betting on?
We'll start with, look, I think Sweden runner up has a lot of value. I'm high on this Swedish team, especially if it has that international feel to it where there's a little bit more space, a little more time out there. I'm not saying they can't be a little gritty, but that's one separation from this tournament compared to the four nations that people are going to have to witness with their own eyes. Is that, I'm not saying it's going to be pond hockey, but it's not going to be four nations getting crushed into the boards if you play. We know European hockey is a little bit lighter. So I do think that Sweden to be the runner up is a pretty good opportunity. So go to stage of elimination, you look at Team Sweden, you can get around plus, 350 plus 325, depending on kind of where you're looking around. So I do like that with Team Sweden. As far as the futures are concerned, I do think Canada wins it. I think that kind of a bold pick here is Team USA to win bronze. I think that, for them not even to make the gold medal, to jump out and say they're going to win the bronze is pretty good. I really like these stage of elimination ones. Like, it's a little bit chalky here to look at, but not too bad. Look at Team Switzerland, minus 155, stage of elimination, for them to lose in the quarters. They're going to make the quarters, but there's not a shot in the world. They're punching their ticket to the semifinals, so I do like that. I've got some MVP and different stuff. I think that MVP, you guys know I'm biased, maybe, but Sidney Crosby at his odds are really, really good to look at. Cale Makar, defenseman for MVP, not bad to look at as well. And then here's one guy we got to mention here, Mitch Marner. You guys know I'm not the Leafs guy. I'm not the Marner guy. Usually he's not on the Leafs anymore, but he does it all. You know, he's an offensive player, a penalty killer, can be a 200-foot player. He had 2 points in the gold medal game with the Four Nations, so I do think he's worth a little sprinkle as well. Could go on all day here. As far as the best goaltender in the tournament, I do think Filip Gustavsson could be that guy because I think that Sweden's going to need to rely on their goaltending quite a bit, though, and I am high on Sweden. I'll tell you this. I think that for highest goals, how about Germany? I think Leon Draisaitl, look at him for most goals in the tournament. Because of some other teams that are so spread out, they're not going to rely on just one or two players. Like, I would be looking at David Pastrnak or Leon Draisaitl. I wouldn't be looking at Team USA or Team Canada players because they will be a lot more spread out. Going into tomorrow, the kickoff first day here, puck drop in the morning, Finland-Slovakia. Started off looking towards the under. The more I broke down the rosters here, I think Finland is not going to be as boring as some might think. You look at this roster, it's actually pretty elite. Like Mikko Rantanen, Roope Hintz, Arturi Lehkonen, a great goal scorer and a guy for Colorado. Sebastian Aho, underrated with Carolina. Anton Lindell. I mean, this team has some firepower. So I've laid the bet down with over 3.5 team total. You guys know I love those team totals. Minus 130. I'm taking a minus 410 money line price into a minus 130 on them to get to 4 goals. Italy, Sweden, I laid the 4.5 goals at minus 148. There's now 5.5s out there at plus money. I don't think Italy scores in this game. So if you're going to give me a price here at minus 4.5, I think 5-0, 6-0, name your number. And it's very important to mention, as you would say too, Gabe, the goals for and against matter. So there's no respect factor here. You got to run the score up as much as you possibly can. USA, Latvia, I'm getting plus 125 on Latvia to cover the number here. I know some might say, hey, you know, USA is going to come out and take advantage of their weak pool they have, but I actually have this pegged as more of a lower scoring game. I think Latvia can hang around the 3.5. My best bet of the early stage, and I apologize for going long here, I think Germany takes care of Denmark. Whether you want the 1.5, whether you want the regulation or whatever it might be, I do think they can. If you want my one underdog, because we can't lay all the favorites, France +3.5. That could be a boring game there.
Guys, I got to tell you something, Gabe. This line on FanDuel is the craziest thing I've ever seen. So they're doing puck lines. They have Sweden -1.5, -3,000. Italy +1.5, +1,120. Like, they're not giving you the 3.5.
Yeah,
like,
you'll have to.
It's crazy, man.
Start poking around the alt lines. They have to have alt lines.
Yeah. I'm just saying that's the one they posted on the main. I'm looking at it going, what the hell are these guys doing?
That's great.
That's ridiculous.
The alt lines.
Yeah.
I brought it up. The Italians, good call. I think I agree with the Italian team getting rolled. I don't know why they made the choice that they did to decide that we're not. Give them credit, I guess. You know, I guess they just went, no, we don't want fake Italians here. And I don't mean fake, but you know what I mean? I think, you know what I mean, Cam? It's like, you know, there's a lot of them in New York and a lot of them in Woodbridge and stuff. They're diehard Italians, but they don't speak Italian. Oh, yeah, I'm Italian, but I actually don't speak Italian. But I'm really Italian.
Like, Giulisi.
I think in Italy, they were like, no, we don't want that. Like,
you know what I mean? Exactly. We want authentic Italians. You better speak
Italian. Yeah, because I was just like point blank, like, you know what I mean? Because, like, if I'm Team Italy, like, why isn't Adam Fantilli on my team? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
what about Mangiapane?
Yeah, like, how many, off the top of your head, how many Italian-Canadian kids are there in the NHL? There's a bunch of them. How, like, Carlo Colaiacocca could have still played. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
like they didn't go with it. They said, no, we're going to have Italians only, like Italy only. We don't want, like, NHL, Canadian, Italians. We don't want, like, so they're going with their homegrown. They're going to get lit up, but all right. But I wanted to bring up, and I saw you guys at the Hockey News, McKinnis bringing it up, and I think it's like, dude, Bill Guerin's an idiot. Let's just call it out for what it is. He's a jarhead, this guy. He thinks this is like the UFC or Knuckle Mania, so he puts together this team. He leaves Robertson and Caulfield off the team. And for love of God, I do not understand how on a team with Matthew Tkachuk that Austin Matthews is the captain. And I saw someone say, and I saw the hockey, you know, I think the guys agreed with the pick or whatever. I know you don't agree with it, McCass, but like, I saw someone else say, oh, it should be Quinn Hughes. Quinn Hughes is a terrible captain as well. Like, what the hell's wrong with people? I don't know if you guys thought people don't know hockey, but soft speaking kids in their mid 20s with gel in their hair are not hockey captains. All right? Quinn Hughes doesn't talk. Like, so what? Yeah, he's a great player. He doesn't talk. Quinn Hughes ain't getting in front of a room and saying, get your fucking shit together. He ain't doing that. Kid's never won jack in his life. What's Austin Matthews going to do? The guy's like the worst captain in the NHL. And you make him the captain of a national team that has a bunch of studs on the team, McGinnis? Insanity to me. Insanity to me that Austin Matthews is their captain.
You know who I'd take over him as a captain? And I feel like I'd get laughed at for saying this. I would take Dylan Larkin, 29-year-old.
Oh, he's got spirit, that kid. He talks and stuff, yeah.
You know, but the thing is, people will argue, though, is that it's not all about just the team you've played and the success you've had, I guess, in the NHL. You know, and the thing is, he did go to the finals. They did beat Team Canada last year, as much as I hate to say it.
They went
to
the finals of a four-team tournament.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. I mean,
you're a Maple Leaf fan. You can't tell me that you think Austin Matthews is captain material.
Well, Cam, do you think that John Tavares even deserved to lose the C? I mean, I don't even know if John Tavares deserved to lose the C when it comes to that. Like, to me, that was
they
an
thought
issue
they were going to lose Tavares, right? They thought Tavares was going to be gone after, yeah. But I don't understand the move, McGinnis, of making Austin. There seems to be a thing where people think your best player or something like that needs to be the captain. It's not the way it works. Like in Vancouver, Quinn Hughes was not the right guy to be a captain. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. But they made him the captain.
Well, remember, Ovechkin didn't get the captaincy for a long, long time because somebody else, I can't remember who it was, what their name was. But it's like, it's not always the case. I mean, look at it. Nathan MacKinnon is still not the captain of the Colorado Avalanche. And I know Landeskog's been injured for a while, a little bit, but Landeskog is that all-around hockey guy, and you know he's the locker room guy. But
well, you know why exactly? Because I sort of like brought it up. McKinnon's a stud and stuff, but he's not relatable to everybody. Andrew McKinnon.
Yeah, and one thing about Crosby,
if you're the captain, guys are supposed to be able to go to you and tell you, "Listen, man, I got a little problem with this, or I don't feel like I'm getting this respect, or this or that or stuff." How do you go up to Nate MacKinnon and tell him anything? Like, he's going to tell you, grip it up, buttercup, shut the F up. Like, he's going to, you know what I mean?
Crosby can carry that weight. That's one thing with him is that he always understands the responsibility.
Everybody said the same thing about Team Canada's shot. So congratulations if you stole the line from whoever originally came up with it. But they said that Crosby looks like the teacher on the field trip in the back. He's like the class is there. Crosby's like the one sort of like he's the chaperone of the high school field trip. Like someone said too, Nate MacKinnon smiled in the team picture. Like they took a team picture on the street. Somebody said, "Well, it's the last time you're going to see this guy smile all week."
Exactly. What do you guys think about a sneaky one? Zach Werenski, either most points or assists.
I'm a big Werenski guy. I like him. I think they're going to have a lot of a big part of the American game. I think Cam is going to be activating defensemen.
That guy's a point machine.
Well, he's a stud. He's a stud. If he was on like the Leafs or like the Rangers or something,
that's exactly what the Leafs need.
I'm pretty sure I debated with you. I don't know if you were in on this, Cam, but I said to you, Gabe, like a month or two ago, or maybe this is a long time ago. Like I think Werenski is a hell of a lot closer to Hughes than people think he is.
Yeah, I don't dispute. I agree 100%. They're equals, to be honest.
Yep.
What one issue I'm having here with?
I say he's overrated, but he's not Bobby Orr. People seem to like big him up a little bit too much here. Like, you know, he's good. He's good. I don't know. There's something about Quinn that bothered me when he was on the Canucks. I'm not just saying because he's gone now. He's like Austin Matthews. These American players, man. I don't know. Like, there's something about them, man. It just rubs me the wrong way. Like Quinn Hughes, like I don't like that little muttering and not facing the media after. Like he's just like Austin. They're just a bunch of little sniveling. I don't know.
I don't mind saying it. I don't like the Hughes brothers. I don't like them.
That's what I'm saying. Like they're just they're snots. Like they're snotty. You know what I mean?
You haven't accomplished anything.
You guys aren't like you're not the Howe family, man. You know what I'm saying?
They said
like Mark Howe. They're all playing the NHL once. You guys think like you said like. I agree with you. They're just cocky kids, man, you know?
5 decades, too. You got to give the house. Like, that's nuts. Who does that?
Yeah, the reporter asked Jack.
You ain't the Howe brothers, all right?
Yeah. Hey, Jack. Jack, what do you have to say to the fans about how tough the last couple of games are going to go or have been going for you guys? And he says, I actually don't have anything to say to them.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, they don't. Quinn used to be the same thing in Vancouver. So, what do you say, Quinn? What do you want me to say? It's like, you're the effing captain. I don't know. Fake it. Like, fake it. How's that sound? You don't mean it. How about you say something? How about you write down a bunch of lines that you don't even mean, but are just cliche? We gave it our all. We'll do better. Like, just, you know, no, you can't. I'm telling you, he's going to screw Minnesota over, too. He's going to leave Minnesota. You'll see. But anyways, all right, we'll wrap it up with Bet365 does have a million different props and stuff like that. Like, they got all kinds of stuff, like, because McKinnis was throwing. But something cool that they do have is the leading score of each team. So if you want Werenski, leading score for the USA is Jack Eichel. So this is most points, right? Not goals.
Yeah.
Right, most points. Is Jack Eichel is plus 300. Austin Matthews is plus 450. Quinn Hughes is plus 550. Matthew Tkachuk is 9-1. Brady Tkachuk is 10-1. Gensel is 13-1. Werenski is 14-1. I don't hate the Werenski pick because he's going to be on the top power play, right? But does he have the most points? What's your pick, McKinnis, for most points, USA, Team USA?
Most points, Team USA. Not much of a bold pick, I guess, but I'm going to say Jack Eichel.
I have Eichel. I got 5-1, McKinnis, not 3-1 game. Shop around. Like, that's a great price for Eichel. 5-1.
I think he is so slept on. And honestly, I didn't like the way he exited Buffalo, but maybe I was being uninformed about the whole situation he went through, because ever since he left Buffalo, I've actually liked him quite a bit. Seems like a guy that just goes without his business, underrated, and he's a big time player. And when it's overtime for Vegas, he scores the goal. When they're down, he scores the goal. And also, what number
he's
can you guys stud, get
bro.
Cam?
He is great player. He's,
what about he's just Jake Gensel?
He's just unlikable.
Yeah,
that's the thing, right? But Eichel's one of those guys that, like, he can play hockey. He can play this kid. Like, he's not scared in the corners. He's tough. Yeah. Like, he can score. He does it all, this kid. He's just another cocky, kind of jerkish type dude, though, you know?
I got a parlay for you guys. So, first, I did it individually. Mikko Rantanen, top scorer, Finland, plus 250. Jack Eichel, top point scorer, USA, 5-1. Connor McDavid for Canada. I might do a couple of these. $11 pays almost $1,100.
All right.
Wow.
Yeah, you can throw a bunch of those together.
Yep.
I'll throw a dart here for the U. I like your Werenski. I don't mind Werenski at 14-1. Like I said, him and Quinn Hughes, I think he's, like I said, they're going to be on the number one power play unit. I'm going to throw a dart here, though. You never know. Maybe he gets that, like, a hat trick in one of the preliminary games or scores 4 goals and gets a head start or something. Give me Tage Thompson.
Yeah, 81. Yeah.
Ooh.
I like
Tage Thompson, 15-1, leading point getter. Like I said, I'm thinking, you know what I mean? Maybe in one of these opening round games, a kid scores 3-4 goals or something. And just
Gabe,
he's
80-1 for goals, not it's crazy. For goals, not just points, goals.
Yeah, that's the whole thing almost, because he's not really going to get points. He's only going to get goals, but he'll be on what? The second line type thing? So he'll get a crack at that. I know the U.S. line is, their top line is the Tkachuk brothers and Eichel, which is a good line, which I think they're making a mistake. Just because they're brothers, you don't put them together because they want to play together. Like, if you're the U.S., I would split them up, personally. But, all right, team, we'll wrap it up with Team Canada. This is a tricky one. I love the Pastrnak. Well, listen, Nekas is plus 400, but Pastrnak is plus 125 for the Czechs. Team Canada, leading point getter. Connor McDavid, plus 175. Nate MacKinnon, plus 300. Cale Makar 9-1, Celebrini 9-1, Crosby 10-1, Reinhardt. It ain't going to be Reinhardt. I need more than 18-1 for Reinhardt. How the hell is Reinhardt? Reinhardt ain't going to be the main. Yeah, I don't understand the odds there. I'd almost like, at least Tom Wilson's on the top line. For the record, too, that's the line, right? Celebrini, McDavid, and Tom Wilson is Canada's top line. What's your pick, Cam? Leading point getter, Team Canada.
I know this is boring as hell. I'm going with Connor McDavid. I think he shows up big time. He's plus 325, too. That's a price I don't mind.
Yeah, it's kind of... Oh, you're getting plus at Bet 365. He's plus 175.
Yeah, you should see these odds I'm getting at these other books. That's why I got four of them, Gabe. Eichel's five. Bet 365 is not even close. McDavid plus 325. And Mikko Rantanen at plus 250. All way better than Bet 365.
It's not flashy. You know what? I don't have access to FanDuel, which is too bad. But what do you think, McKinnis? I don't hate, like, is it going to be, if it's not McDavid, do you think it's going to be McDavid? If not McDavid, you brought up Mitch Marner. I think Marner could be part of things here in this tournament. I think he's a big key for Canada, actually. Your boy Nick Suzuki's on the second line. He's 33-1 to have the most points for Team Canada. But it's kind of, let's be real. Like, if we're really looking at guys that could win this, McDavid, McKinnon, Makar, and I wouldn't sleep on Celebrini. What would be your pick? A dark horse or long shot? And who do you think wins, McKinnis? Team Canada, most points.
I think we can't go away from McDavid just because I think that his line's going to be pure offense. I think that if that Suzuki, I have no clue what those lines are going to end up being, but I do think
they can mix them up.
I do think McKinnon's going to play more defensive zone coverage than McDavid will. So because of that, I think McDavid would win it for them and be the more high scoring. I think Mitch Marner, I'll go back to my guy I said before. Look, I'm not saying Mitch Marner's scared of his own shadow, but he's not really a guy that goes into the corners. And again, if this is going to be officiated as if it's an international hockey game, it works out better for Mitch Marner. The less this is played like a playoff game, the better it is for Mitch Marner. So I'll take him. And then the long shot guy is Sam Bennett. I mean, the guy who didn't even make the team initially, and you know, he's a Conn Smythe winner.
Tournament MVP, Connor McDavid plus 350, Nate McKinnon 8-1, Connor Hellebuck 15-1. All right, who's the first Swedish name here? Flip Gustafsson, 33-1.
Wow.
Sprinkle on that. Because you said everything I've been saying for weeks, McKinnis. I think Sweden could win the gold medal. I think it's going to be Canada and Sweden in the gold medal, and I don't think it's going to be easy. I think the Swedes, the only thing the Swedes is, they're very moody. Right. It's up to like their chemistry or not. Like if the Swedes are like a classic, they're like front runners, Cam, the Swedes in hockey. If things are going well for Sweden early in this tournament, oh boy, watch out. Like they're going to like, they don't get along, the Swedish dudes. Like it's not like they're not, it's their culture and stuff. Like, yeah, they love their country and stuff, but like Pedersen, you know what I mean, McKinnis? Like they're moody players. They're streaky. They're moody. They're moody people, right? Like the Finns are more like just sort of lunch pail than the Swedes are, right? Like the, you know, but they're not as talented. The Swedes are like, guys, if we got on the same page here, we could beat anybody, right? And they're often not, the Four Nations was not an indication of their team. They didn't have half their team. They mailed it in. They didn't care. They all said, we'll see you at the Olympics type of thing. I think Sweden are dangerous, guys. I really do.
I got a guy for you, Gabe, from Sweden, Rasmus Dahlin. 50-1.
I think if Sweden wins, it'll have to be because of their goalie, though. Like, I think their goalie will get love. Like, if Sweden wins, it's going to be because they win a bunch of 3-2 games. Like, they're not beating Canada 6-5. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to want to shut this thing down. And the other dark horse that I think people are totally sleeping on, the Czechs. I think the Czechs can medal. Like, I think the Czechs are going to be a serious load for people to deal with, McKinnis.
Well, what
they're
going to
play
think,
low scoring games. It's going to be 2-1 and stuff. It will not be easy against Czechia.
What do you think about the battle-tested idea of things? I've heard multiple people's opinion that I respect talking about this. You know, at first I was kind of bitching and complaining about the USA pool and soccer and then now men's Olympic hockey. But you know what? It's like, hey, congratulations. You know, you beat this country with, you know, zero pros. You know, it's like Canada is starting off against Czech. And for what it's worth, I love it because they're going to start Binnington. If he plays well, he moves on. If not, it's somebody else. Even if they win, he has to play well.
That's their toughest group game. I love it. Eases up. Yeah.
But they have going into the quarterfinals, Gabe, they're going to be like, holy shit. Like, we played no NHL hockey players, right? Like, they're going to feel like they're good.
No, but you know what? Don't sleep on Latvia in this first game. And in fact, you brought up earlier, I like Latvia plus the 3.5. What I really like is the 6.5 under in that game, right? You've got good goalies on. Silov's the backup, but you got an NHL goalie for Latvia. They've got about 5-6 NHL guys. They got a bunch of AHL guys, and they got a couple of Latvian guys. They're going to keep this lower scoring against the USA. It's the first game, too, McInnes and Kemp. It's not like these teams have big chemistry and stuff like that. They're just not going to want to lose. Like, I don't think the USA are like – maybe the USA beat Latvia 4-1 or something like that, but it means it goes under. I don't think Latvia are going to give up a ton of goals to the US. So I'll take the 3.5, but I like the under 6.5 even more.
You guys like this parlay too? Group winners, Canada, USA, and Sweden, plus 140.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing is we're hyping up Sweden is they got to play Finland in their group, Ken, right? That's the only thing, which is a bitch, right? And they are good defense.
It's kind of funny. I did a video talking about like tips for betting international hockey, right? And I was saying about how with international hockey, you're betting point spreads like you're betting football or basketball. And I told people not to be scared to bet the dogs. But I'm not going to lie, guys. If, you know, we'll call it match day one here. I like a lot of the faves. And I know that we're not supposed to think about this and we start overthinking, oh, I like too many of the faves. And, you know, but I told myself at the start of the tournament, I'm going to be betting on some of these teams plus the 4.5 or 3.5. And I have done it with the women's. But so far, like, I just looked at that Swedish game and they gave me minus 150 with -4.5. Like, I really think they're going to beat the brakes off them. William Nylander or not, I think that Sweden's going to run the score up on them. One thing they have is depth, like Lucas Raymond as a third line.
Yeah, but that's NHL versus non-NHL, right? Like Latvia versus USA. Latvia have NHL players on their team.
Oh, no, I like the plus 3.5. Zerkis is a
good goalie. Like, they've got damn good goalies. Like, they're going to be fine, Latvia. And I think the Czech Republic plus 2.5 are live against Canada. Like, I got Canada winning this game like 4-2 type thing. I don't think they're not going to route the Czechs.
Well, who are they?
We got to wrap it up.
Dostal,
what's your prediction,
McInnes?
Are you laying the 2.5 or are you going to take the 2.5 with Canada and Czechia?
Well, you know, I love the team totals. Kind of been my new thing the past little while here. If I'm playing this game, I'm playing Canada to get to 5 at plus money.
Like, I
don't like the spreads usually. And I think that especially with Canada, if they lose and if they win the game and only score 4, I'll take my loss. But, it's just, it'd be frustrating for me to see them win the game, 5-3, and then I don't win money. But I think that if they have a good game, they're going to score 5 goals.
All you need to know about like this is they're trapping you is Bet365's odd boost. Canada -2.5 over 5.5. So they're just inviting people to play this.
Yeah,
right there. It's like the ultimate trap. It sounds pretty good, actually. Canada -2.5 over 5.5 plus 175. It's almost too good to be true. It's like, yeah, they know everything's going to, yeah, they're going to walk into this and yeah, Canada's not going to win by 3. And it's not going to go over. Like, I could see that game being 2-1 after 2 periods type stuff. I think Canadians just got a little cocky with this hockey stuff before these tournaments, And don't forget, there's always, I remember being on Off the Record a couple before and the last time they were in the Olympics and Canada, I was ripping the hell out of them. I was like, yeah, you only beat Latvia 2x2 goals or whatever. There's often a little bit of a slow start. All right, we really do got to wrap it up. But, McInnes, are you betting the curling? I'm watching the mixed doubles final right now with Sweden and the USA. Italy won bronze earlier in the day today. But You betting any Olympics? You got curling. You're from the Maritimes. Any curling tips? You in on anything?
You're from the Maritimes. That curling.
Actually, a lot of people do like it around here. No, I'm just watching.
Yeah, no, that's what they do. Yeah. Exactly.
I'm just watching and cheering them on. Just watching watching the Canadians, cheering it on. You know what I don't like is I'm trying to get better at figuring out when it's on because I won't find out until I'm scrolling Twitter and then it will like, all right, in 10 minutes, this guy's racing or this is going
on. It's on now.
I'm trying to figure it out with, I'm not going to watch that.
No, basically the curling events and the hockey, they're on at this time, in the morning type thing all the time, the live. I know it's hard to keep up with the time. Like Canada play at, 10:30 Eastern time, Thursday morning. I know it's 7:40 to be exact on the West Coast. So I'm going to have to wake up for that. I will too. All right. Thanks, guys. Great show. Fun stuff. Great Olympic breakdowns. We'll get Cam's and Babano's final Olympic men's picks tomorrow. So the games will be starting in the overnight hours on Wednesday night. Thanks to Rick Saratella for joining us. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No.